wonderful word.
Thank God for His word. Been a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And we've been born again, not by corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Amen. This book is a living book, full of life and full of hope. And it's a treasure house. Amen to God. I'll tell you, I believe you'll find a pearl of great price in there if you look hard enough. Full of wonderful, wonderful blessings in the Word of God. Great promises. Great promises. We lay hold upon the divine nature of God by the great and precious promises that we have in this book. And I tell you, it's a wonderful book. I wouldn't take... And you're privileged to have one. You remember what the preacher said? How many folks around the world don't even have a copy of the Bible? Hey, folks, it ought to put zeal in our heart to want to evangelize. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You tell me how a man's ever going to get saved if he don't even have a copy of the Word of God. Come on now, I won't charge you a thing for that, friend. You ain't going to get saved without that book. We went through the Missions Institute in Natchez, Mississippi. They had a mission board down there represented called New Tribes Missions. They went into areas where the language of that people had never, ever even been, we might say, deciphered, had never been translated into English. And they had sent people in there and they had learned the language from the people themselves and would begin to try to give them something in the Word of God where they could hear the Word of God. That excites my soul. Amen to God. I'm being honest with you. I love you. I love you with all the love I believe a man of God can love people. I believe that. But sometimes I wonder if we're not spinning our wheels trying to preach in America. Amen. When there are so many folks out there who have never heard nothing.
Amen.
I tell you, that stirs my soul. That does. Amen to God. It'd be a terrible price. A man have to pay for that. But I'm telling you, that stirs my soul. Amen to God. Didn't Paul say, I want to preach the gospel where it's never been preached before? I'm not going to build upon another man's foundation. I'm going to preach the gospel where it's never been preached before. Hallelujah to God. And, boy, I'll tell you, that's a wonderful thing. All right, chapter number 5 of the book of Solomon's Song. And we'll begin reading again this day in verse number 1 of that chapter. I'm come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. What an invitation right here. Oh, eat, oh friends. Drink abundantly, oh beloved. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, not to an angel, not to the preacher, but open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. This is her speaking now. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the locks. Now may the Lord add His blessings to His precious, precious Word. Let's pray. Our Father, we bow again this day in the presence of God, thanking You, Lord, for Your unspeakable gift. I thank You for mercy, mercy that endureth to all generations. Thank You, Lord, for mercy that's available today. Thank You for grace that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for being a present help in trouble. Thank You for Your Bible. Thank You, Lord, for Your blood. Thank You for the blessed hope that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for the church. And thank You for the privilege to assemble in this place together as a church and worship God in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach the Word of God one more time, to herald forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus, that hearers might be saved and come to know you in the free pardon of sin. I pray you'll grant liberty now to preach and help. I ask you, Lord, to forgive the transgressions of my heart and soul this day. Wash me and purge me. Cleanse me, make me clean. Help me to stand in this place with a clear mind. And, Lord, preach to thy people what thus saith the Word of God, that they might be stirred and blessed and helped in their soul, and Jesus' wonderful name might be magnified and lifted up. Encourage our hearts this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. I want us to look at verse number 5, where the Bible said, I rose to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. That verse took place because of what happened in verse number 4. The Lord had placed His hand by the hole in the door, and her bowels were moved within her. If God will help me for a little while this morning, I want to try to preach on the thought, the effects of a gracious hand. I'm glad that God's grace is effectual, that it will affect those that come in contact with the grace of God. I want to say, friend, that you'll never depart from God's presence the same as you came in. Amen. When we put that new birch door back there, somebody looked at it and said, Preacher, I said, that door looks the same colors on the outside of it, but said on the inside, one's one color and one's another. And I said, well, it's scriptural. Thank God for it. Sinners come in, they all one. And when they go out, they've been changed. Amen. They're not like they were. And I'm going to tell you, friend, you cannot come in contact with the grace of God without that grace affecting you. The Bible said in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Then it goes on to say that grace teaches us that we ought to deny worldliness and ungodliness and worldly lust and live sober and righteous in this present world. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin, but hallelujah to God, grace enables us to overcome sin, that it will not have dominion in our life, that we may live in victory in this world. Somebody said, Preacher, I'll be victorious when I get to heaven. That's the thinking of most Armenians. But hallelujah to God. I'm glad that as a Baptist, I believe that the grace of God overcomes sin in my life, and I can walk in victory now. I'm not waiting till I get to heaven to have victory. Praise God, I'm saved this morning, sealed this morning, sanctified this morning. I've been sent by the Holy Ghost this morning, and I am departing this life into the presence of God because I come in contact with grace one day. Thank God for the effects or the effectual grace of God as it works in the hearts and the lives of individuals. And verse 5 is a direct result now, a direct result of what took place in verse number 4. Jesus stuck His hand by the hole of the door, and the Bible said that her bowels were moved within her. That is, His mighty, gracious hand had an effect upon her life and caused her bowels to move within her. I don't see how anybody, my friend, by grace, can view Mount Calvary and see a suffering Son of God and that life that He laid down not affect you in some way. How, when we observe the love of God, will it not change us? I'm telling you, my friend, salvation will change you. I'm glad, thank God, if any man's in Christ, old things are passed away and all things are become new. That old life is gone. Hallelujah. New life is before. Amen. Old friends are gone. New friends are down the road. That same crowd we run with, we don't run done with anymore. Sins that we did, we don't do anymore. We're a new creature in Christ because of the efficacious work of Almighty God upon the hearts of sinners. The efficacious grace of God are the effect of His gracious hand. Now you stay with me. I'm going to be on. I find in this text today probably one of the most beautiful pictures in all the Word of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit pens this Bible, by the way. Amen. A fella told me the other day, said, "Now, preacher, said you know that men wrote the Bible." I said, "My friend, you need to read your Bible. God might have used their pen, but the Holy Ghost is the author of the Bible." Amen to God. And the Holy Ghost here has revealed to us in one simple verse of Scripture the response and the results, my friend, of a human heart that has been touched by the grace of God and opened by the power of God. I can't help but to think of Lydia in the book of Acts in chapter number 16. And my friend, how that Paul and his company went to Philippi and they went down to a river. The Bible said where prayer was wont to be made. And apparently, old Paul must have got up and been preaching a little bit. So the Bible said that Lydia there from Thyatira, seller of purple, gave heed to the words that you heard Paul preach. Hallelujah to God. Aren't you glad that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Oh, and when she heard of the Word of God, of the Holy Ghost, my friend, applied the grace of God to her heart. And the Bible said the Lord opened Lydia's heart. I'm glad, thank God, that an old locked up heart, locked up with sin on the inside, by grace can be opened, my friend, that the King of glory and the Lord of hosts might come in, hallelujah, and take up His residence. Amen to God. In our hearts, bless your soul. Amen. Thank God. I feel twice saved this morning. Woo! Amen. Twice saved. But I see here the response and the results of a human heart that has been moved and opened by the grace of God. Now I want to say, my friend, you can't be touched with grace without responding to it. You hear me well. If the hand of God touches you, whether you're a sinner or a saint. If the hand of grace, my friend, touches you, you have to respond. As a sinner or a saint, you have to say yea, or you have to say nay, one of the two, to the hand of God. But I'm telling you, you will respond, my friend, when God puts His hand of mercy into your hard and cold heart. You have to respond to that grace, to the touch of grace upon your life. Thank God I've been criticized for being a grace preacher. But I don't know anything else to preach. Son, it is by grace through faith. Unmerited favor, the good love of God. Ever occurred to you that Christ could have left her lay on her bed of despondency and died in that miserable condition? But son, He came to where she was and slipped His hand through the hole of the door. Hallelujah! And left drops of myrrh on the handles for her. He could have left you where you were. Let you go on in your sin and go to hell. He didn't have to come to where you were, friend. Thanks be unto God. And by the way, son, I'm telling you, the thought that America entertains is you can get saved whenever you want to, anytime you want to. All you got to do is pray a little prayer and you're saved by the grace of God. I'm going to tell you something. You'll only come to Him when there's drops of myrrh on the handles of the lock. You'll not come to Him, my friend, when you want to. But when the Spirit of God has dropped the myrrh, the Holy Ghost, on the handles of the lock of your heart, that's when you'll come to God. So if the water's stirring, you better come to Him. Huh? Don't sit there on your tail end, son, when God's a speaking to your heart. And He's done been to the door of your heart and put His hand through the hole of the lock and dropped a little bundle of myrrh on the handle for you. Son, you better reach out and take it and pull that handle. You may wake up too late and find Him gone. Amen. Like the five foolish virgins, you may get up and open the door too late and find Him gone. Hallelujah. That's right. Thanks be unto God. Now, I want to say that God's gracious hand and the effects are basically the same whether you are a sinner or a saint. Whether you're a believer or an unbeliever. It accomplishes the same thing. I want to say that again now. Whether you're saved or lost, this little bride was saved. But it accomplished in her heart the same thing that it accomplished in your heart and my heart when we were saved by the grace of God. The effects of grace are the same, my friend. Whether you're lost or whether you've been saved 100 years, you get cold on God, draw back on God, sit down on God. And if you're saved, if the gracious hand of God touches your heart, my friend, it'll affect you in the same way it did when you was a lost sinner. I know that. Now the bride is here locked up in her own heart. She's locked up in her own heart. That's a terrible place to be, friend. Thoughts locked up in your own mind. Sin locked up in your own heart. Locked up to yourself. You ever seen anybody in solitary confinement? It's terrible. Huh? Door closed and can't get out. I'm going to tell you what, you take a man locked up in solitary, I guarantee you if he hears that door rattling, son, that lock, he's going to get up. Yes. Now, hey, they bring him food every day and bring him water every day. And they may speak and say, here's your bread and here's your water. It may not stir him quite too much at all, for he knows all he's going to do is eat and drink and remain in that prison house. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, if he ever hears a little noise outside that prison cell and the lock, the keys went in the lock and that lock begins to rattle, it'll bestir that man. He knows freedom just around the corner. I'm here to tell you, as a sinner or a saint, if you hear a little rattling around the lock in the door, son, you better bestir yourself, because the King of Glory is on the outside, desiring to get on the inside where you're at. Hallelujah. The bride's locked up in her own heart. The external voice and the knocking did not seem to move her heart much at all. The Lord had already spoke to her and already knocked. Her response was, I pulled my coat off. I expect me to put it on. I've taken my shoes off. My feet, you want me to defile my feet again? I've washed them. You want me to defile them again? Didn't do much for her. But I'm going to tell you something, son, when he put his hand through the handle in the door, that verse number 5. And by the way, I don't necessarily believe in the inspiration of the verses and the chapters in the Bible, but it ever occur to you that I'm preaching on grace, and we're looking at chapter 5, verse 5, which is a number of grace. Hallelujah! God ain't made no mistakes, bless your heart. Be like Colonel Goldstein, boys. He ain't made no mistakes. Amen to God. Voice and knocking didn't quite move her at all. But the powerful hand of grace through the hole by the lock of the door, she very quickly stirred and very promptly arose to open to her beloved. Now I'm going to say this to you as a Christian, son. Amen to God. I don't know really how to say it. I'm just going to blurt it out there. But it bothers me, son, when people claim to be saved by the grace of God and God shows up and nails our hide, reveals our sin, leaves drops of myrrh on the handle that we can get right with God, and it does not seem to affect us at all. I'm going to tell you, friend, the voice never aroused her. The knocking never aroused her. But the grace quickly stirred her and promptly brought her to arise and go to the door of her beloved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Doc Fang asked me the other day, he said, Mr. Hall, said, do you getting a lot of saliva in your mouth? I said, no, but I think I'm going to have to change the tune on that next time I go. You don't swallow as often when you got Parkinson's. Creates a lot of spit. Some of you young fellows may want to get on the front row.
Amen.
I got something for you. Amen. Today ain't spreading viper venom either, bless your heart. Holy Ghost spit do you good. Amen.
Amen.
If I was a Baptist, I'd set you all up there and baptize you, bless your heart.
Amen.
That's what we need, a little holy saliva. Hallelujah to God. Amen.
Amen.
I feel good. I see three things. She said, I rose to open to my beloved. Now don't leave me. Three things and we out of here this morning. First of all, I see her earnest repentance. But is she repented? Can you see her laying on that bed with her coat off, her feet washed? She's done discharged herself from the service of God. The war's over. The battle's won. I'm going to heaven. Therefore, I'll just lay back on my bed and on my a life of ease, and I'll let the world go by, let sinners die and go to hell. I won't worry about the church. I won't worry about the work and the labor around the house of God. I won't worry about souls. I won't worry about witnesses. I've retired from this service. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There is no discharge from this war. Bless your heart. You didn't volunteer, bless God. You was drafted, and you won't get out until God discharges you. And there's no discharge in this war until death separates us from this world. That's right. Son, there she laid. Jesus trying to get her up. Well, how you want me to get up? I ain't got a coat on. Don't you know I've retired? Son, we don't need to retire. We need to refire. Yes, amen. Need to build another fire down in her bones. Amen to God. We need a little revival and a little strength. Don't need to retire. Refire, bless your heart. And let God build a fire down in your soul. Oh, we might serve Him. Amen. She said, I rose to open to my beloved.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to say a few things about repentance. That man that's bad off sick up there, people asked me this morning, what's he think about repentance? Well, I don't ever try to answer for another man. I just know what I've heard the man say, and he didn't hold repentance too, didn't esteem it too highly in the work of salvation. But I'm going to tell you, except y'all repent, ye shall likewise perish. Somebody said, my friend, she had to, all she had to do was believe. Well, you believe what you want to believe and die and go to hell on your believing. I'm going to tell you, God ain't going to save you and leave you, my friend. He'll never visit you with grace and save you and let you live in the same habitat and the same condition you lived in before God found you. God will change you. Grace will change you, friend. She went, when she saw that grace, she didn't say, go away, I'm asleep. The Bible said she arose.
Yeah.
She had done something. They got active. She got up. She repented. She turned from her present condition and went out to meet the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And may I say, she brought forth fruits meet for repentance.
Yeah.
Huh? A lot of people say, I've repented of my sin and live in it. You ain't repented a bit more than a billy goat. A lot of Christians say, I've confessed my sin and go on living that way. You ain't repented and confessed nothing, neighbor. I'm going to tell you what. I mentioned her briefly the other night. Let me hit her again, son. I don't think it's just an accident that the last 4 or 5 minutes preached in here has nailed bitterness and an unforgiven spirit to the wall, neighbor.
Amen.
I'm afraid some of us in here said we forgive, but it's still laying around down in the heart. We never got it right with God. I'm telling you, son, repentance will bring forth fruits meet for it. It'll show up. It'll be manifest. It'll be revealed somewhere in our life. If we ever repent and turn from the evil of our ways, son, it'll bring forth fruit in that repentance to God. That's right. Old John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:7-8, said, old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Let me see something. Show me something. Prove to me you've repented. Don't just tell me from your lips that. Hey, what'd have happened if she'd have laid there and said, I'm getting up? But she's like that rebellious son in the Gospels. She said, I'm a going, but she didn't go. Or like the other one said, I will go, said I won't go, but later did go. Are you listening to me, son? Hey, she didn't just lay there and say, I'm a getting up. She got up. That was proof. That was meat for repentance. She proved to God. She showed Him that she had repented of her sin. And I want to say, secondly, in her earnest repentance, not only did she bring forth fruit meat for repentance, but there was godly sorrow was worked in her heart. Oh, I want to say this before we get there. In repentance. Now, if you want to write down, and God gave me this, I didn't get out of nobody's book. I'm going to give you a good definition of repentance. She turned from the temporal to lay hold upon the eternal. There she was on a temporal bed of luxury and ease. But the eternal Son of God stood on the other side of the door, knocking, speaking, putting His hand through the hole in the door, and left drops of myrrh upon the handles. Oh, yes, sir. And she departed from that which was temporal to lay hold upon Him which is eternal. Now, I'm here to tell you, that's exactly what the thief on the cross done. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Son, he departed from the temporal to lay hold upon the eternal. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, hey, the temporal ain't got much impact. It's what is out yonder in eternity that matters. Son, our life is but a vapor. We're here but a little while. It matters what you do with Jesus. Salvation matters in your life. Brother Ricky asked me a question about that this morning. I said, salvation is the greatest need of your life. It's the most important event in your life. Oh, we get married and thank God for marriage and we carry on about it. Buy a new automobile and we want to park in the parking lot and brag on it. Amen. Build a new house. We like to brag on it. But I'm going to tell you what, friend. The single greatest blessing in your life was when you got transformed by the grace of God into a new creature. Hallelujah. That's important. You can own a new home, a new automobile, plenty of land, and die and go to hell. But son, I'm telling you, if you have Christ in your life, you heaven bound, son, with a hammer down. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Not only was she brought forth fruits meet for repentance, but godly sorrow was worked in her heart. You can't tell me that when she saw His grace and knew of His love, that she was not sorry in her heart for the way she had treated Him. Huh? Let me ask you something, ladies. Men, we all have. Guilty. You ever sulk up on a little woman? Or a little lady, you ever sulk up on him? And he says, sees you sitting there with tears in your eyes running down your face. I'm going to tell you what it does to him. It'll cause him to repent. Amen. Amen to God. I have never got vexed at my wife. Never! Never have I ever got vexed at my wife. But brother, when I saw the grief and the sorrow that I brought to her, I got off my butt, yes sir, and put my arms around her and told her how much I loved her, bless your heart. I'm telling you, that's called repentance, my friend. And son, when godly sorrow works in our heart, when we become sorry for the way we've treated Him and the sin in our life, I think she was sorry for her attitude. My attitude hadn't been right. I should be out here serving you. I know I should have helped in the recent revival, but I just had other things to do, preacher. Too tied up, preacher. Amen. Ain't we ashamed of ourselves? I know I'll spend a couple hours a day in my Bible in prayer. But I'm sorry, Lord. I know I'll tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, sinners dying and going to hell. And I ought to have enough grace, Lord, to tell somebody about God. And hey! I'm telling you, repentance. If we ever repent as a church, it'll change our attitude, my friend, toward Christ that loved us. And we'll be busy about His work. You know what He told His disciples in John 20? He said, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Our attitude. I believe there was godly sorrow. Paul said, now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And I'm going to tell you something, Sean, true repentance is always accompanied with sorrow of heart for our attitude and our actions against Christ, our fellow man, or wherever the transgression may be. Are you listening? Listen carefully now. We will repent as God's people when we realize we've wronged Him. I'm going to tell you where we're at today. We just can't see no wrong in nothing we do. We can live like hell. We can be complacent, cold-hearted, lay out of church, do whatever we want to do, and claim to love God and be saved. Don't have me that bunch of bull. You don't. Hey, when you love Him, you love what He loves, and He loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now, I'm not talking about that balloon went on the PTL and the 700 Club, son, you watch on television either. Amen to God. That's right. I'm talking about this one right here. How can we love our brethren and stay away from them half the time? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Praise God, you ain't right with God laying out of church. So don't tell me I love you now, but don't come tell me you are. I love you. Some of you need to repent of that. You need to have some godly sorrow about that. Realize your attitude and actions toward Christ has been wrong, my friend. You mistreated Him. He loved the church, died for the church, bought the church. And we want to play games with the church. And some of us won't do anything to help in the work of the church. I'm going to say something, fellas. We ought to be ready-minded. We ought to be ready-minded to get things done in the church, on the property, on the building. You just about to get something done. You got to call a work day and put a bull nose ringer in folks' nose and drag them to get something done. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, but I work 5 days a week. Right. Fine. I work seven, brethren. Right. You know how many hours it took me yesterday to prepare for today? Amen. 9 hours. 9 hours. You know how many hours my wife worked yesterday on Sunday school lessons and things for you ladies? 12 hours. 12 hours on Saturday and never left the house. Amen. Come on in the house, kids. Amen. You go home this afternoon and go to bed. I'll be getting ready to preach tonight. It's not 5 days a week and off every night, son. It's 7 days a week for a man of God. Amen. Some folks need to realize that. I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just telling you some Baptists need to understand that. Amen. Amen. Realize they've wronged Christ. She is easing Zion. She was withdrawn from His service. Hey, she repented when she discovered her great need for Him. I'm going to tell you when you'll repent, son, when you realize you're in trouble and got to have God. Some of you young folk in here, I believe some of you want to try to do right, and some of you are trying to do right. But I'm going to tell you, when you repent of your rebellion and get right with God, son, it's when you realize that you've got a need for Him, that you can't get through this world without Him. You might make it, my friend, without a lawyer and without a doctor, without politicians, without a judge. But you'll never make it to heaven, my friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll never make it as a Christian without His presence in your life. As a child of God, she repented because she realized she had a need of Christ. I want to say fourthly, fifthly, She repented. Now get this now. When she saw herself cut off from him.
Amen.
There was a door between her and him, friend.
Amen.
And without her response to grace, without her arising,
Amen.
And putting her hand on the handles of the lock, oh, the grace was there. Come on in the house, young'uns, because we're getting ready to go to the next point. Grace was there. But I'm going to tell you something. It took faith on her part to get up and put her hand on the handles of the lock on the door.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you when you'll repent, son. It's when you see yourself cut off from God.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. Well, amen. Sinners are cut off from God.
Right.
Oh, yes. That rich man in hell was cut off from God.
Amen.
There's a great gulf between them and I that could not be penetrated from above nor from beneath. But I'm telling you, friend, there's an awful, awful gulf of sin between Christ and every sinner. And the only power to penetrate or to span that gulf of sin is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious blood that was shed. Hallelujah to God for the cross. Oh, that spanned the gulf of sin and death and made me a child of Almighty God. Well, I'm happy today because I'm in the Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How many of y'all remember Brother Ron Cochran? Ron used to pastor this church, 82 and 83. He built this building we're in right now. He come here a few years back. He's a black chalk artist. And I had one of the... He turns all the lights out except the light right on his canvas and he begins to draw. And all you can see is part of the drawing. Because he uses black chalk to draw part of it, and you can't see part of it. But son, when he turns on another light to open up that black chalk, you see all of the drawing. I'll never forget years ago, he was preaching on the cross. What he does, he preaches a message and illustrates it with a chalk, with a drawing. Son, he preached on the cross. Hallelujah to God. And I kept on looking and looking. He began to draw, and I looked and looked. Over here, there you could see castles and palaces and a beautiful city and blue skies and streets of gold. I thought, my, that must be heaven. And on the, over here on this side of the canvas was flames of fire and people are screaming and people are hollering. And between the two, there was just an open pit between both of them. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? He just kept a drawing and it showed men and women falling off of that thing, down off of that ledge into the fiery pits of hell that was underneath. And I thought, well, is he ever going to bring Jesus out? What in the world is he doing? And all at once he stopped and said, can we have the lights turned on, please? And son, when the lights was turned on, hallelujah to God, from on the hell side to laying across that great chasm to the other side where heaven was at, hallelujah to God, was an old rugged cross. But on with the Prince of Glory died. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, his cross has bridged the gap. His cross has spanned the gulf. His blood has been shed. His life has been laid down. And you'll never, ever get to heaven than to bypass the cross of the Lord Jesus. Cut off. Cut off. Cut off a door. Cut off. Can't get to him. Cut off. No opening. Cut off. No grace. Cut off. No faith. She repented when she understood his love and desires toward her. She realized that his head filled with dew and his locks would drop to the night. That he loved her.
Well,
I'm glad we sang that old song this morning. Jesus loves even me. I'm so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Hallelujah to God, friend. What love, what condescension, what grace. Oh, what magnificence, what wonder. Wonder of wonders. That's a great Creator that created everything that now is.
And my friend condescended to such a low estate, my friend, that to humble himself and die in obedience to the death of the cross, that the creature, I said the Creator died, that the creature might go free. Hallelujah. Woo! Burns Trio sang that song, "Oh, the wonder of wonders. Oh, how could it be that Christ was made flesh and was given for me?" The Father came down, and something about that on a cross, sin there on the cross, died for every man's sin. I said every man sin. Oh, every man sin. Cut off but loved. Forsaken but loved by God Almighty. Oh, what love, what mercy, what grace, my friend, been bestowed. Now, there's the... Yes! Now, I not only see her earnest repentance. I'm talking about earnest repentance. She got serious. But I see her exercise of faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend. She could have laid there on that bed. Are you listening to me? There is God's sovereignty putting the grace, the myrrh on the handles through the hole in the lock. But she had a responsibility to get up. The handle. She had her handle on the lock of the door. She had to unlock the door. Are you listening to me? Come on in the house. Home a little Calvinist, brethren. I'll help you. I'll get you Armenians and you Baptists both, Calvinists both, and I'll make Baptists out of all of you.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Amen. I'm Baptist. Proud of it.
Amen.
I thought of something this morning. I don't know what came to my mind. I heard Miss Ruth answer the phone back there. Then she said Island Ford Church. And I was going to tell her, "Don't." It's Island Ford Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist.
Amen.
A lot of Baptists taking their name off the sign just being a church. Community churches and churches. Just church. So I'm going to say, when you say church, I would have got to have time to preach on it. You've said a lot. It's a pillar in the ground of the truth. And I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of these Arabs out there preaching everything but the truth, bless your heart. And a whole lot of Baptists preaching everything but the truth. I don't know how I got off on all that. Now, listen carefully. Her hands and her fingers were put upon the lock.
Amen.
If the door is her heart, and it is, if the door is her heart, then that which has it locked must be unbelief.
Amen.
If the lock, if the door is the heart, then the lock must be unbelief. Ain't that what holds us back from serving Him is unbelief? Can God really do it? Can God? Don't get me on that, Holy Ghost. Don't get me on that. Can God spread a table in the wilderness? I'm telling you, God can, brethren. God can spread a table in the wilderness. Yes, sir. We just need to believe God. Like the preacher said the other night, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Must believe that He is what? That He's God. That He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Woo! And God can. Hey, we just have unbelieving hearts as God's children today. Now, if the door is the heart and the lock is unbelief, the only thing I know that can overcome unbelief is faith. Huh? So the handle that opened the lock on the door had to be faith. So there's the grace of God on the handle. He's done put grace and faith together. You can't separate it.
Amen.
And there's a hand. The hand in faith reaching out and taking hold of grace.
Amen. Have you ever done that?
Amen.
Has your hand in faith, has your hand in faith ever reached out and taken hold of grace?
Amen.
Have you ever embraced grace?
Amen.
Know the forgiveness of sin.
Amen.
Ooh, I'm about to get in the swimming room. I think I'll do the overhead stroke a little while. Dog paddle. But if I get out deep enough, Brother Jerome, I'm just going to get in there and tread water. You know what treading water is? Don't you get out over your head and don't go nowhere. Just stay there. Sometimes I get in grace and like to just stay there. Sunday ain't nothing. It starts me anymore talking about the love of Calvary and the grace of the cross and the mercy of God in saving all sinners. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's tread water a little bit, Brother Andy. Get in grace and just... What are you doing? I'm a treading grace. Treading grace. Yeah, I'm just a treading grace. Listen to me. You know where I see your faith there? She expected to see him. She said, "It's the voice of my beloved at knocking." Sweetheart, sweetheart, by faith she expected to see him.
Amen.
Come on, children.
Amen.
Now faith, what did the preacher say the other night? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Amen.
The evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Well, she hadn't seen him. But her faith gave evidence. It was evidence because she got up.
Amen.
That was the evidence of things not seen. The evidence wasn't in his knocking, son. That's not evidence. That's just flat knocking and calling.
Amen.
The evidence of faith, of things not seen, is when she got up. She expected him to be there.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, my friend, if this church will repent of our lethargy and our complacency,
amen,
as he knocks on the door and gives grace on the handles of the lock, if we'll arise and go to the door, I expect to see him.
Yeah.
Woo! Hallelujah to God. Y'all hear what Brother Jones said the other night? He said he thought God was going to do great things in this church. I started to tell him he already has done some pretty good ones. Yeah, Brother Smith, that's grace, my friend. That's grace. She expected to see him. Now listen to this. And apparently, when she opened the door, and I never noticed this till the other day, she said, "I opened," in the next verse. Now I'm still going to preach to my Lord willing. "I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself." Then he said, "and was gone." So, if I'm right over here, I can withdraw myself. I can withdraw myself way back here. I'm withdrawn. But when I step out here, buddy, I'm gone.
Amen.
You know what I think she saw? When she opened the door, I think she caught a glimpse of him.
Amen.
Withdrawing himself. Withdraw. Somebody said, "How do you know she saw him?" Why, dummy, read your Bible. On down there in verse 10, she said, "My God, my beloved is white and ruddy. His eyes are like doves and by the rivers of the water. Hallelujah. His belly is like ivory and sapphire stone." My God, I'm telling you, that faith, she caught a glimpse of the Son of God while he withdrew himself. And that withdrew him, withdrawn himself, and the glimpse of her caused her unbelief to be overcome, and she promptly went out to seek him. "Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem, have you seen him? Who you talking about, sis?" I'm talking about him whose belly is like ivory and sapphire stone. I'm talking about him who's got bushy locks, black like a raven. Have you seen him? "Well, did you get a good look?" "Not all I want, but I got a look. I got a glimpse. That's why I'm a-looking. I want more. I don't know about you. I've caught a few glimpses of glory. But hallelujah to God, I want more. Bless your heart. Amen to God. I want to see a little more of the Son of God."
Yes.
Blue Bear.
That's good preaching if I do have to say so myself.
She began to seek Him. Her unbelief was overcome by faith. And she promptly begins to seek Him. And then faith, after she begins to... And I don't want to preach all of this, but I just want to hit the edge of it. That same faith caused her to follow Him. She said, How do you know Brother Hawks is following Him? Because the daughters of Jerusalem, there in chapter 6 and verse 1, said, "Where is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved turned aside? That we may seek Him with thee." They said, "Praise God, you've got told." Woo! Just got a hold of that. They said, "You've got told us so much about Him. Hallelujah to God. I think I'll go see if I can find Him." I'm here to tell you, friend, our testimony of the good grace of God or to cause other people to go out and find the Lord also. Bless your heart. Those daughters of Jerusalem said, "Where is He at?" And she said, "He's down yonder in His garden." How'd you know by that verse that He was in the garden, son? She must have already been down there and done that again. Can you believe they done got down in the church together again? Hallelujah to God. Asleep on the bed, awakened by grace, wow, and worshiping God together again back yonder in the garden. Lord, the Holy Ghost is wearing me out, and y'all sat there at dinner and lying here burning. I see her earnest repentance, her exercise of faith. But I'll close with this. I see her experience with grace. Have you ever experienced grace? Now listen carefully. She said, "My hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet smelling myrrh. Whereat? Upon the handles of the locks." Now, that wasn't her myrrh. You know what Jesus said in chapter 5 and verse 1 when we start that chapter? He said, "I have been to my garden and I've gathered my myrrh with my spice."
Amen.
Don't leave me now, church.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Why did he gather that myrrh?" Because he knew he had a little bride yonder in the bed.
Amen.
That it was going to take a whole lot of grace to stir her up.
Amen.
So he gathered that grace, went down to that little bedroom where she is at, with that grace in his hand, dripping and running that oil of myrrh, that anointing oil all over his hand. And he slid that hand through the hole in the lock. And that myrrh, that oil, run out all upon that lock. And my God, there's so much of it. She said, "When I touched that lock, my hands and my fingers right. dripped with sweet smell of myrrh." She said, "Son, he didn't just put a little..."
He poured it on.
You know what it said in John 1:14? "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full. F-U-L-L, full, son. Full of grace and truth." Hey, I'm paraphrasing this. Y'all just bear with me in my folly. But I believe when He stuck His hand through that door, and His emotions, His desires, His love for her was so stirred, He wanted to embrace her, and He wants to embrace you in love. So when He put His hand inside the hole of that lock, I believe that He might have heaved a little bit. Hallelujah to God. He may have had that myrrh in a cup, and it may have sliced out of that cup. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Amen. He's full of grace, son. Well, if He's shaking just a little, He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And son, being touched, He poured out a little of that myrrh on the handles of the lock. If I know anything at all about the Bible, what that was a little bit of handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
You know what that handle, you know what? Hey, handfuls of her. You know what that caused her? You know what that was put there for? That was put there. Let me read it because I was one word and I forgot what that one word is.
It was put there to draw and to lure her.
Amen.
Come on. Here's your another handful on purpose. Amen. Where we are going? We are going to the Father's house. Come on by grace to the Father's house. That's what God's telling us this morning, children. Come on by grace to the Father's house. Hallelujah to God. Just a handful on purpose. Now I'm here to tell you, God will give us grace to draw us unto Himself. What you say in chapter 1? Draw us to me. I will follow thee. And son, you ain't going to follow Him nowhere unless He draws you first. Now look here. Let me read you this verse of Scripture, what Jesus said about Israel. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her and will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there as in the days of her youth. You remember when, I'm in Hosea 2:14 through 16. You remember how it was when you first got saved, like old Kelby back there? He sat back there this morning like a sponge. He just... You remember how it was when you come to church when you first got saved? The piano hit that first note. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ. And man, after you've been saved for a little while, it's kind of old, them old songs. They ain't got the oomph they used to have. We better get a drum. Maybe we ought to have Brian Lefebvre to come. I bet he could get the spirit rolling. Or maybe we ought to have the crabs. Well, they get the spirit moving, preacher. He said, you will sing like you did when you was young. When I drop that grace and lure you into the wilderness, buddy, I'll give you vineyards and the door of Achor. You want the word Achor means trouble. I'll give you those doors of trouble will be doors of hope.
Amen.
You're going to sing there. Hallelujah to God. And said, as in the days of your youth, and as in the day when you came up out of the land of Egypt, and it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai. And shalt call me no more Bala. You know what the word Ishai means? Husband.
Right.
Son, I'm going to tell you, there is a relationship with the Lord that we know nothing about where He can be called our husband.
Amen.
Which is much more intimate than Lord.
Amen.
I ain't got there yet. I'd like to, boy.
Amen.
His grace was left in abundance. It dropped. Romans 5:17 speaks of the abundance of grace. His grace was left to soften her heart. She had gotten hard-hearted and cold. The friend, when she reached out and touched the handles of the lock,
amen,
she said, my hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet smell of myrrh. Where at, little girl? On the handle for the locks. All that grace that was His is now dripping off her fingers. She turned that lock. But my beloved had withdrawn Himself. I wonder if there's anybody in here today, sinner or saint, either one, you'd get up this morning. He's give us the grace.
Amen.
Would you arise this morning by faith? Turn the handles of the rock. That the King of Glory. I wish I could think of that chapter in the book of Psalms. I may not take but a minute to find it.
Amen.
Somebody help me with it. Where is it at? It talks about the everlasting doors, the King of Glory. Anybody know where it's at right quick? I'd like to read it. Who is the King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts? Anybody know where that's at? I can't find it. We'll have to wait for another time, maybe. Talks about the everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory in. Who is this King of Glory, the Lord of Hosts? Is His name. Would you open the door this morning? Whether you're a sinner or a saint, would you open the door and let Him in?
Amen.
Let's stand together.